What is going on? Good morning. Happy holidays. Welcome. It's your man Hendo here. It's the Rogue Pod on this snowy Monday morning. Now, this was supposed to be a different stream. I was supposed to have a co-host here with me, but some people do not have a concept of time because time is a construct and people just don't believe in sticking to their word. But that is another conversation for another day. Yes, Davon. Yes, Davon. Working on MLK Day. I got to go to work, so this is going to be a really quick stream. Today, we're going to be discussing what happened over the weekend during Super Wild Card Weekend and what we have to look forward to with the Ravens going forward. Now, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but there's been a lot of talk the past few weeks about the Baltimore Ravens possibly seeing the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. And a lot of people were like, hey, I don't want to see Joe Flacco. I don't want to see the Cleveland Browns. But as we've been saying for years and in years past, defense does not win championships. Because if you look at it, you had the Cleveland Browns, who had the number one overall defense. They left the building. You had the Dallas Cowboys, who supposedly had the reincarnation of Lawrence Taylor. They're out of the playoffs. So without being able to score or without having the ability to score, you're not going to win in the playoffs. So that's why we always say you need that offensive balance. Now, you do need situational plays on defense, just like with the Cowboys game. The defense had the pick six. They picked off Dakota Rain Prescott a couple times. So that's that. But let's see who we got in here. Because like I said, this is not going to be a long stream. I do have to go to work today. Jada Six is in the house. What's going on? Happy holidays. How you feeling, brother? Appreciate you being here. Living Big with Big Ridge is in the house. You got Joey. What's going on, my guy? Danity's in the house. Happy holidays to you, Danity. How you feeling? Yeah, I'm not doing well right now. Like right now, I'm heated. Heated. What's going on, Julian? Appreciate you. Yes, it is. It's that LBHT hoodie. Make sure you go out and get one. LBHTshow.com. All right, let's get into this. Like I said, this is going to be really quick because I'm not in a good mood right now. Not in a good mood. So, first of all, let's start off with Saturday's first super wild card game of the weekend. What's going on, Don? Oh, you got to laugh to keep him crying. First game, you had the Houston Texans taking on the Cleveland Browns. And listen, when I started watching it, it was a good game. When I started watching it, the Browns went up 14-10. Joe Flacco was looking like January Joe. And as inevitably as the sun comes up, you knew that Joe Flacco was going to turn the ball over. And he did it twice in grand fashion. If this is Joe Flacco's last run, he went out in miraculous style. He threw two pick sixes. Two in a row to turn the tide in that game, even though I do think that the Texans had command of this game. Now, C.J. Stroud being a rookie, he came in, had 270 yards, three touchdowns in the first half alone. This guy's a problem. And I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, I'm not scared to play the Houston Texans in the playoffs because we played them in week one and we beat them. Well, that was a rookie head coach with a rookie quarterback playing in their first game. First game. So, excuse me, to me, two totally different teams, but the Ravens are playing a lot better than they have in the first week. The offense is gelled. It's kind of gotten their continuity down. The offensive line is playing a lot better. So if we have to play them, that's going to be something different. Cleveland, I wasn't worried about them. I just don't think that they had the sustainability to keep things up. So Houston is one possibility that the Ravens are going to play. Now, we would have thought by now that Baltimore would have had their opponent locked up. But unfortunately, with the blizzard, the snow, everything that's going on up in Buffalo, New York, they don't even know if they're going to play the game today. Now, it was postponed from yesterday to today, but they're still having some issues with the wind and the snow. Don't know if they're going to play. And if they do play, those teams are going to be at a huge disadvantage because playing a game on Tuesday, then the team, one team coming back, possibly playing on Saturday, is really not going to work out. But it works out for us. One thing that I don't like, and I'm not superstitious, I saw something about the Ravens playing on Saturdays versus playing on Sundays. And we don't have a good record playing on Saturday. And hopefully we can buck that trend. Like, this is the year for the Ravens to take it all the way. This is the year that the Ravens should win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying I hope, I pray. This is the year Baltimore needs to win the Super Bowl. Everything has been laid out for us. They, listen, by act of nature, act of God, they slowed down the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City, even though they beat the Miami Dolphins, you know, they don't look as good as they have in the past. The Cowboys have been taken out. The Eagles are possibly going to be taken out tonight. Like, everything's laid out for us. The only competition I think that we really have, Kansas City, maybe San Francisco. But, hey, maybe there's a possibility that Green Bay takes out San Francisco as well. Don't know, don't care. If we handle business, there is no team that we should not beat in the NFL. All right, moving on to Saturday night's game. We have the Kansas City Chiefs, who defeated the Miami Dolphins 26-7. Patrick Mahomes, boy, listen, I didn't think that there was any way possible that this game was going to have any passing yards to it. I thought that this was going to be a ground game. I thought that Miami may have a chance, being that they were going to have to run the ball. But Patrick Mahomes, being Patrick Mahomes, he still threw for over 200 yards. Rashee Rice, he had 180 yards receiving, a touchdown. Like, they were in full command of this game. And as I thought, I don't know about most of you guys, I knew that Tua Tagovailoa was not going to be anything in this game, because in big games this season, he has not shown up. He has not done anything that made him an MVP front runner, in my opinion. I just think that he has great weapons around him. What else would you need? Like Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, Tyreek Hill, Raheem Mostert, David Achane. Like, you have all of these weapons and you still can't do anything. I think it was halftime, third quarter, he had 94 yards pass. And I understand it was cold. Like, it was 27 degree weather cold. But to me, they just couldn't get anything done. But look, what do we have here? What do we have here? I don't even know what to say. I'm just going to bring her up.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, Hendo. How are you?
I'm all right. And yourself?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking. How's everyone in the chat this Monday, Martin Luther King Monday?
Okay.
Well, and happy Founders Day to all of the lovely ladies of Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So let's talk.
All right. That's what I was doing.
Dandy.
Let's talk.
Okay. So.
All right. Did you watch any of the games?
I did. I watched all of them, with the exception of the one last night. I was rooting for the Rams, just because I don't really like the Lions so much. But, you know, I figured that the Lions would win, but one of the Rams. But, yes, I watched all the games. What about you?
Of course I watched all the games. I'm a football fanatic. I don't just watch one team.
I watch
them all. Okay. And then we had Sunday night's game, which was actually a really good game. We had the Motown Showdown. The Detroit Lions just eked by the Los Angeles Rams 24-23. Matthew Stafford, I thought he was going to go Staffording last night, and he did not. Matthew Stafford went off. Puka Nacua had a record-setting night for a rookie. I think he had the third most playoff yards by a player in NFL history. I thought that there was going to be a point in time where the Rams are actually going to come back and win, because Detroit, after scoring 21 points, they just seemed to get listless, and they went away from what was working. I don't know, and Brodney speaks to this a lot, why they go away from Jahmyr Gibbs and run David Montgomery. Jahmyr Gibbs is obviously the better talent. He's obviously the better player, but yet and still Ben Johnson takes him out the games. But hey, if he's the next Carolina Panthers offense coordinator, so be it. They're not used to having talent on offense anyway, so what are they going to do?
Yeah, I thought it was just the Ravens that deviate from plays that are working when we had Greg Roman. Why did we always steer clear of that which was effective? We, you know, run, and then all of a sudden, second half or second quarter, we deviate from that which was getting us results. I thought it was just the Ravens, exclusively to the Ravens. But no, I see other teams are guilty of the same offense where, hey, and weather's no factor. Like, when you sign up to be an NFL player, you understand and you sign your name on the dotted line with the understanding that your goal is to win a Super Bowl. Your goal is to make it to the Super Bowl. And that's in February. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to play in weather that is just anything less than favorable. You get that. You understand that. That's just kind of how it is. So I don't want to hear the excuse of, oh, the weather was bad, because it certainly was. But Kansas City had to play in the same disastrous kind of weather too. Now, granted, Kansas City didn't look great, but they did enough to where they could win. And at the end of the day, what matters is who walks out and whose season continues versus who walks out and then they go home and watch the rest of the football play out.
Yeah, I mean, I think Isaiah Pacheco in that game, they did a very good job running the ball and using the play action pass. Mahomes was off a little bit, but one thing that's a little bit different to me is, yes, you both have to play in the same weather, but it's one thing for me to play and live in Baltimore and then go outside than for you to live in Tahiti, so to speak, and come in and want to come outside with me. It's not going to be the same. Like, yes, we're both in the same elements, but I'm used to this. I'm used to the snow and cold. It was 69 degrees in Miami at the time. They could have been home.
Freezing.
They could have been home. All they had to do was win one game. They were up 3 games in the division with 5 games to go. And I think that Tennessee Titans game that they blew in the last 4 minutes is what did them in. So therein lies the difference. Now, here's the thing. If Miami had won that game, we would not have a game in Buffalo. There would have been no delay because the game would have been in Miami. Buffalo would have traveled to Kansas City, and the playoff structure would have been totally different. The Ravens would know who their opponent is right now, and things would be smooth sailing. But the way that this looking, I mean, anything can happen. It's the NFL. Any given Sunday, but you have Mason Rudolph going up against Josh Allen. I'm not a believer that Josh Allen should be in the MVP conversation, but he is an extremely good quarterback, and he's built for this type of weather, because not only can he throw the ball, he can run the ball. So when nothing's open, listen, this man is 6'5", 250.
Try to take him down in freezing temperatures.
Yeah, so and the Steelers don't have TJ Watt, so that's that. Now, the next best thing to a Ravens win, I don't know about you all in the chat, I don't know about you, Yolanda, but to me, the next best thing to a Ravens win is a Cowboys defeat. That just, to me, tickles me to no end. Tickles me. Now, things are a little skewed because of garbage time. Now, Dak Prescott threw for 300 plus yards. He had 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But if you actually look at the game, if you actually watch this game, Dakota Rain Prescott is hot garbage. And I can't believe that there are people that said, hey, this is the front runner for MVP. Now, I understand this is a regular season award. It's not a postseason award, but these are the type of games that you get from Dak Prescott. You get from a Tua Tagovailoa when you go on the road. Well, they were at home this time. They had won 16 straight games, but when you get in these high pressure situations, you get in these big games, they fall flat. And I think, to me, this is why Lamar Jackson undoubtedly should be the unanimous MVP, because in the biggest games against the best teams in the NFL, Lamar Jackson shined, and he shined the brightest. He was the best player on the field of stars. So last night watching this game, like I didn't go to bed till like 4 o'clock this morning, because all I just kept doing was watching different shows talk about how the Cowboys lost. when I tell you, it tickles me to no end, because it's the same thing year after year. It's been the same thing since 94, 93, 94. Every year, look how well the Cowboys look. Look how much talent they have. This team is the most talented team throughout the NFL. Just look at, their offense is unstoppable. Their defense is one of the greatest ever. They have some of the most iconic players in the NFL. And then the playoffs start. And this is what happened. And this is the first time NFL history is made once again. This is the first time in the NFL that a number 7 seed has won a playoff game. Now, it hasn't been. It's been like three years that they've had a 7 seed. But this is the first time that they won, and against the Cowboys, who were supposed to be challenging the San Francisco 49ers for the NFC Championship. To me, I feel sorry for their fan base. Now, I love the fact that they lost, but I feel sorry for their fan base, because you get your hopes up year in and year out just to fall flat. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I couldn't agree with you more. Watching Dallas falter, I don't take as much joy in it, because I do actually like the Cowboys, not love the Cowboys, but I certainly don't despise them. So watching them falter was hard. It wasn't easy, but I knew it was coming. I figured. I didn't know that they would falter at home. I thought they would make a second round exit, but if we listen to Stephen A, which I don't really ascribe to what he says, but he was like, I told you so. This is going to be a first round exit. I've been telling you guys this all along. You know, one more season. So, but I have a question for you, and I have a question for everyone in the chat. And you guys might have covered it before. You joined, and Joey pointed out that I was fashionably late. I wasn't that tardy. But anyway, what was your favorite game of the weekend? And moving into what could be like the very strong possibility that we play the Texans, how do you guys feel about it?
What was my favorite game of the weekend?
Yeah, which one was the best matchup of the weekend?
The one that's on the screen. The one that brought me so much joy. Now, like I said before, I have to work today, but my burden is eased, because I have the fact of knowing the Cowboys lost once again. And when I tell you, I have taped every 4-letter network show that there is just to watch a 2-minute segment to listen to them talk about how the Cowboys lost. It brings me so much joy. So much joy. Even though it's snowing, I'm so overjoyed. And my thoughts on playing the Texans, I'm not worried. Now, Cleveland had the number one defense in the NFL, and Houston made them look like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, it made them look like they were irrelevant. But I will say they play a different kind of defense than we do. And also, to me, their Achilles heel was their secondary. And I think that a lot can be learned from that game. In my opinion, a lot can be learned from that game, because they did what we don't do. They did what a lot of teams don't do. When they found out that Greg Newsom, I don't know if you watched the game, but number 0 for Cleveland, when they found out Greg Newsom couldn't cover, they went after him mercilessly. Like play after play after play, they said, this guy can't cover. Guess what? We're going to keep going back to him. And that turned the tide of the game. So I think that we don't have that issue. Like, we don't have where you can consistently target one of our corners, unless it's Rock Ya-Sin. You can't consistently target one of our corners over and over again, because I think Mike McDonald does well enough to make the adjustments. That's what Jim Schwartz, and I'm surprised Jim Schwartz did not make that adjustment. But Juan Thornhill just came back from their safety just came back from injury, and just some other guys that were hurt. But I just think that they won't be able to do the same things to us. Now, not to take anything away from their wide receiver Nico Collins, but it's one dude, dog. You one dude. And I'm not going to say C.J. Stroud can't do that to us, but C.J. Stroud can't do that to us. C.J. Stroud will not have damn near 300 yards in a half.
We can't allow that to happen. So, and I'm with you, Big Reg, but that was my favorite game of the weekend, if I had to say. Like, the Texans just absolutely demolishing the Browns. because for a minute I was believing that the Browns stood a chance. I really thought that the Browns could go in and actually come out with the win, just because I felt that they had a veteran presence in terms of their quarterback. I thought Joe Flacco was actually going to be able to get there and make a difference. And because of that, and then also, like you said, they have the number one defense in the league, arguably. But for those
statistically, they do.
I'm saying arguably based on how they presented themselves 2 days ago. So, I mean, during the regular season, yes, statistically, they are the number one defense. You're absolutely right. But for me, it's not always about what paper. It's about the intangibles also.
But you also have to take into account. I'm sorry. You also have to take into account two different terms. Number one defensively, yardage wise, we were number one defensively, scoring wise.
Right.
And I think therein lies the difference.
And what do we need to do? And this would be my next question. What is it that what can we take away from the Texans game that we must do that maybe we have not been doing heretofore consistently as a defense? What is it that we need to do to stop the offense? What is it that we need to do?
Shut down Devin Singletary. Stop the run.
That's what I was going with it. We need to stop the run. If I took away anything from this game, CJ Stroud, for him being a rookie, I tip my hat off to CJ. I'm very proud of this young man, and I think his future is super bright. It's just not your year this year, CJ. If you happen to be watching, we appreciate you, but it's not your year, sweetie. Come back next year, and we got you, or maybe the year after that. But for this year, it's the Ravens. We're taking it all the way. But what is it that we need to do consistently that we have not done? And for me, the biggest takeaway, we've got to stop the run.
That's definitely. I mean, that has been our Achilles heel all season long. But the way it is looking, we also have to stop tight ends.
I think our pass game, you know, our ability to stop the passing game, I think that's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. However, it is an all hands on deck type of game. Everyone has to come out full throttle, functioning at 100% or as close to 100%, because I know we're in the postseason, everybody's dealing with some type of ailment. I get it. But you're going to have to. This O-line, they've been great these last few games. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to continue to maintain that level of greatness, step it up a bit even. But my biggest concern against the Texans is our inability to effectively and consistently stop the run. That's my biggest concern.
Right. And like Jay said, like I was saying, and Jay confirms this, like Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan, like it's not even all of a sudden, it's the play design. Like if you look at them, they still have and Cleveland does it a little bit. It's that Gary Kubiak style, you know, it's that play action fake quarterback run or quarterback design run that they fake. And these are the things where we can get overly aggressive and they can hit those big plays. Now, I won't say that he's dead without play action, because I've watched CJ all season long and not just this game.
Yeah.
That kid can ball.
That
kid can ball. And even if you look at when he played us in week one, his first NFL game, he did not play bad. It was his offensive line that let him down. And they are playing a lot better than they did in the past. We just need this Ravens pass rush to get to him, make him uncomfortable. That was the thing that surprised me the most, is that the Houston Texans neutralized Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, I don't think he recorded that many stats. I think he had like a couple of tackles, assisted tackle, of pressure, but Myles Garrett was non-existent during this game. I think that is the one area between us and Cleveland that is the bigger difference. We don't have that one guy to stop. We have a myriad of ways for us to beat you. So if we can get pressure on him and shut down Nico Collins, because who else do they have? They have Mechie. He had a decent game, but he has not done anything all season long. Tank Dell's out for the season. And who's the other guy? I can't remember the other guy. But, yeah, they're not – outside of Nico, they don't really have much. It's just him, CJ, Devin Singletary. So I think if we shut that down, that can be one of the keys that's dominating this game. And we have to realize we have one game to win. If we win one game, we're in the AFC Championship. One game.
We did it.
One game.
You're right, but I don't want to minimize the moment. And by that, I mean, this is going to be a test, a strong test. And although I think what I think is going to bode in our favor is experience. We are a very experienced team as an organization, as a whole, in terms of the players on the field. We have a great mixture of young and I don't want to say old. I don't want to call these players old, seasoned, okay? We have a very good mix of the two. And when you bring that leadership, that presence, that ability to calm the nerves, to settle in, play your style of football, be confident in your preparation, trust your instincts, I think we'll be fine. But going up against the Texans, if that's our fate, if that's what's in the cards for us, I do think that this is not going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I think it's going to be a grind it out, make it happen. Lamar Jackson, as you always do, it's going to be one of those types of games. Would I love to see our defense step up and get two pick sixes? Sure, I would love that. That'd be wonderful. Take some of the pressure off the offense, just in case they're not firing on all cylinders as we would like them to. Hopefully they will. But this is going to be a test. This is going to be a test. Next question. If we play the Steelers, how do we feel about that? I know we've given a lot of thought to it because we don't know the outcome of the Bills game. But just in case the Steelers are somehow able to squeak out a win, how are we feeling?
And I have conflicted feelings about this. I would love to be the team, quote unquote, that retired Mike Tomlin. I would love to be that because there's speculation that this may be his last game. He's taken a step back and he may, be with his family for a while, a hiatus, if you will. But for me, beating the Steelers would be kind of the cherry on top of the Super Bowl run because the Ravens are 1-7 versus the Steelers in their last 8 games. And of course, the Steelers have so much to say about this, even though last game we didn't play our starters and, it is what it is. But for me, I just think that it would be iconic to take out a division rival on our way to the AFC Championship game. But then, and then on the flip side of it, if we play the Steelers, we eliminate a threat in Buffalo. But I also want to play Buffalo because I want to kill that Josh Allen, Lamar narrative. So either way, him, the Chiefs, the Bills, I want to play them all. I want to go play all of these teams just so when we do win the Super Bowl, there can be no, well, if Lamar would have played this team, if the Ravens would have went up against this team, I want to shut them all down. We can take out the red hot rookie. Then if we do, we get to play the Kansas City Buffalo winner. And how fitting would that be to take out Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen to go to the Super Bowl? For me, I would love it. But for the Steelers, I would love that as well. So so any scenario that we have, any path that we take during the playoffs is great for me because we're taking out somebody that runs their mouth a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Which one would be a harder test for us? Given that Watt is out, do you think the Steelers would be a harder test? Or do you think, and that's taking into account that we are 1-7 against the Steelers, or do you think that the Texans would be a harder matchup for us?
I think the Texans would be the harder matchup because, like I stated before you showed up, defense does not win championships. Defense does not win championships. And that's kind of what the Steelers are built on. They're built on defense, even without TJ Watt. You need situational defense to win games, but the Texans just put up 47 points.
Yes.
And I watched a game where the Texans were losing with 49 seconds left. CJ Stroud took them down the field with no timeouts in 22 seconds to score a touchdown. Offense wins games. And I'm not saying that their offense scares me, but I think that they would have a better opportunity to beat the Ravens because they would have to outscore us. They would have to outscore our offense. So I think that the tougher matchup would be the Texans, even though it is hard to play a team three times in one season.
It is.
You know, that's a little tough because you know each other so well, you know the tendencies. But being that they beat us twice, it's hard to beat a team three times in one season. So I'll take any of them. I'll take any of them because it doesn't matter. But if we play Pittsburgh and Houston took out Kansas City in the next round, I wouldn't be mad at them. But like I said, I'll take whoever's in front of us. But there's just certain teams I want to play just because, and I hate going back, but just like the 2012 run, we took out Andrew Luck. We took out Peyton Manning. We took out Tom Brady. Like, that was the cherry on top of my Super Bowl, that we took out some of the quote-unquote greatest quarterbacks of all time on our way to a championship.
We're going to have to do the same thing this time because, just like for the reasons that you mentioned, we're going to have to take out a Pat Mahomes. We're going to have to take out a Josh Allen. We're going to have to take out the superstar rookie. I mean, that's the path. That's the path to what the goal, the end game for what we want.
Is that right? Listen, I want to talk about this. I'm not going to talk too long on this, but I want to talk about this. I've been on Twitter all weekend long, and all I've been hearing is profanity laden tirades directed towards Ravens fans. And this is my feeling on this. Why is it, and this is not at you at all. Why is it that you can only be a fan of players on your team? Why is that? So what, people were rooting for Joe Flacco? So what? They're fans of his. Just because they were rooting for him, now they need to go be Browns fans? So you weren't a Megatron fan? You weren't a Barry Sanders fan? You weren't a Deion Sanders fan? Like, this is the thing that irks me. People just believe that if you don't cheer just for your team, something's wrong with you, or you're not a real fan, or your fandom isn't up there with the rest of the people. People like Joe Flacco. I like Joe Flacco just because they wanted him to win. So what? So what? Because my thing was, even if Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns would have won that game and came into Baltimore, he would have done the same thing he just did, turning the ball over. They just wanted to see one of their favorite players win. I love Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan. But when we play him, I want him to lose. So I don't understand what all of this venom is towards your fellow fans just because they rooted for somebody else. Now, granted, he lost, and he lost in spectacular fashion, like we knew he would, because even I was sitting there like, yo, he's gonna throw an interception anytime soon. Like, it's gonna happen, and he did it. But my question is, why do y'all get so mad at somebody else for having opinions outside of your own? And like I said right here, this is not directed towards you. This is just in general. A lot of people wanted them to lose. A lot of people wanted the Browns to lose. But my thing is, why do people get so mad at other people for their own opinions? That's my point. Like, why do you get so mad? Oh, how can you root for the enemy? They weren't rooting for the enemy. They were rooting for Joe Flacco. And they weren't rooting for Joe Flacco to beat the Ravens. They were just rooting for Joe Flacco to do well. So I just don't understand why people get so in their feelings when somebody has an opinion that differs from their own. Like, that blows me. Pause. Like, I just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, I'm sorry. That was just my little tirade.
Well stated and understood. I mean, I love my Ravens, but I also like the 49ers.
What's up, DDS? Okay. Wait. You took it too far. You took my speech and you went too far with it.
Well, wait a minute. I can have my own opinion.
No, not on that. Not the 49ers.
Well, minds can differ. And so long as you will have me on your channel, it's going to be Yolanda stands behind. I like the 49ers. I've always liked them. I like the 49ers especially when they play, you know, any team other than the Ravens. When the Ravens have to face the 49ers, I can't stand them. I hope you're going down. We're going to take you down. That's my mentality.
Next, you're going to tell me you root for the Redskins.
No.
Oh, you'd have been banned. You'd have been banned immediately.
I don't think I could be banned. I think
you're pretty close to it.
When you guys want to ask Hendo to have me back, right? You guys would want me back. I hope so. I hope you guys wouldn't let him ban me. But no, so I think it's fine. If someone has strong feelings toward a former player, that's okay.
And it doesn't even have to be a former player.
It just could be, hey, you like this team. I happen to like who I happen to like, and that's okay. I just don't want you to definitely win. I don't want you to win when we're playing the Ravens. No, when you're playing the Ravens, no, that's an absolute no. But other than that, I wish you all the best.
Appreciate you, Joey. I'm glad you corrected that. Because I'm just like, is he trying to say he's a fiend? Because I know some fiends.
No, we don't. He's a fan.
I know he changed it, but I'm just saying, I know some fiends. It ain't a pretty sight. Mm-hmm. So, Clyde, you don't root for any other player in the NFL. You strictly just root for the Ravens players. Like, you don't sit there and be like, man, that CJ Stroud is something. I hope he does well this season. Like, man, that Bryce Young, I really liked him coming out of Alabama. I hope he does well. And that's not to say you want him to beat the Ravens, but it's just you have certain players and certain picks. Like, and I know a lot of Ravens fans only watch the Ravens. And that's up to you. Like, that's your proclivity. Then, hey, do what you need to do. So, but I'm just saying, like, don't get mad at somebody else just because. And like, I'm a Terry McLaurin fan too. Like, I hate the Commanders, but I like Terry McLaurin because of his personality. Like, he's a good kid. He seems to me like a great young man. And this is outside of the football realm. I hate the Commanders, but I really like Terry McLaurin. But that's not saying I want the Commanders to come in and beat the Ravens.
Yeah, we don't want that. But I don't see a problem with it. But that's just my opinion. I don't see a problem.
Yeah. All right. Now I guess we'll end the show on some good news. Mm-hmm. And this has been one of several, but I only highlighted this one because this seems to be the one that most people care about. The Baltimore Ravens had 6 players named to the AP, not the NFLPA, not Sporting News, but the AP All-Pro team. And those 6 players are, now we had 3 to the first team, 3 to the second team. Our first team selections, of course, quarterback Lamar Jackson. He's been named first team All-Pro. We have Kyle Hamilton, safety, first team All-Pro.
Second year.
We have Roquan Smith, named to an All-Pro. I think he should have had some previously before he got to Baltimore, but hey, that's another thing. And our second team All-Pro, Patrick Queen, Matt Abike, and Hard R. Ricard. I think the fullback in Miami is better. Personally, he should have made it, but that is me. How do you feel about these All-Pro selections? Do you feel like there should have been other players that should have made it onto this team?
I'm very happy with the selections. Honestly, I mean, there's an argument to be made that Brandon Stevens was snubbed, Geno Stone, Matt Abike. Sure, there are some that. I say that these are some of the names that should have been Tyler Linderbaum, but with the selections, I mean, I'm very pleased. Very pleased with them. Okay. I'm happy for the players, especially watching the reactions, not just for this one, but for the ones that were named to the All-Pro.
Hey, Reg, where you hit is that? I need to know what you heard this at, because I've been saying this all weekend long.
I've seen that, and I'm like, can they someone fact check that for me? Because I heard Patrick Queen say, don't listen to everything you hear.
They didn't fact check it. What they did was, it was a video letting Matt Abike know he was becoming an All-Pro. That's what the video was about. And some people took that as he's getting a contract extension. There is no way, in my opinion, there's no way that the Ravens were going to give him a contract extension during the bye week. Like, when they got so many other things to worry about, like, this is a before season, middle of the season, or end of season type move. I think just people got things misconstrued and just thought that video, when it was speaking, was congratulating him on making that money, but it was actually becoming an All-Pro. So I think that's where things got misconstrued, because you can't tell me this was reported on Friday. the first person I saw, I think, reported it on Friday. There's no way you can go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and not see any publications out there have this. I didn't get any notifications on my phone from Ravens.com or whatever that is, saying that we've extended Matabike. So I just think people jumped the gun because they wanted this to happen so badly.
I wonder if, why would there be contract extension right now? Especially when the concentration should be, let's win this next game. So that would be my only thought. I mean, not to say it couldn't happen, but I just think timing. I don't think it's the right time for it. I think right now, whatever. And another thing, I know we said we're ending the stream, but I just have to get this off my chest. I want all of these other teams to back off until, especially all of the ones that are out of the playoffs and their season's ended. I want them to back off, get back, leave our coaching staff, our front office worker, leave them alone. Let them concentrate. Let them 100% concentrate on winning this championship. We'll talk to you after we win the Super Bowl. But until such time as that, we'll see you later. And I know that the coaches are saying, like, Todd Monken and Ben McDonald, they were interviewing in the evening after they had finished all of their business and all of their duties for the Ravens. They would interview at night. Okay, that was last week when we had a bye. It's all business this week. We're full throttle. We are a full go. So, no, I don't want to hear, I don't want to read any more interviews, and they've requested another interview. We'll table them until after we win the Super Bowl. Thank you.
I mean, listen, as a, I guess as a head coach, where you want your coaching tree to grow, you want your players, you want your personnel, you want your peers to reach heights as far as they can. Head coaching opportunities is one thing. Like when people said, oh, Mike McDonald needs to come back and do this next year, you have to strike when the iron is hot because you don't know if there's going to be a next year. We saw what happened with Byron Leftwich. He was offered the Jacksonville Jaguars job, and he turned it down. Where's Byron Leftwich at now? He's sitting in his chair just like I am. So I think that being given the opportunity to interview with people, now, of course, you would say, hey, concentrate on the football game first and then worry about your future, which I would think, it's cool, but I would think that he's professional enough that he could do both. Like, you can do both at the same time. Like, all I'm doing is, like, it's just like me sitting down watching TV. I'm taking a 20-minute break to watch television. Now I'm taking a 20-minute break to have this virtual interview, so to speak. I'm not working 24/7. But if I sit back and wait till after the Super Bowl or after what we depart from the playoffs, coaching spots could be filled. They could have candidates that, I mean, I know you don't care, but for this man's future, I want to keep all the coaches around that I can, but for this man's future, like, this isn't a lateral move where he's being offered the defensive coordinator position with the Chiefs or the Bears or somebody else. This is a promotion.
Yes.
And he has to worry about himself and his future. So I get it. I'm not mad at him because, once again, you're not doing football 24/7. People are saying he needs to concentrate on the game. You don't think that he's concentrating on what he has at hand? I don't think that this man 24/7 is sitting behind his computer looking up plays. So to take that time out to interview for a job, for me, I mean, you do what you got to do. I'm sad that he's going to be gone because I've heard that six teams are interested in interviewing him. And I do think that one of those six are going to grab him up.
For me, it's not just I'm taking the time out to interview. And let's say the interview is an hour and a half. It's all of the preparation, because I know for me, when I'm going to interview for a position or job, I'm preparing for that interview. I'm studying, I'm researching, I'm planning, I'm very methodical. So I would assume that, thinking that he might go into an interview like that, not just one day wake up and say, okay, I'll interview, and then does absolutely nothing to prepare for it. But that's the time that I'm talking about that's taking away from him focusing on the Ravens. That's it. Not just the hour that he's before a camera doing his interview on a virtual setting. No. But I would think if it were me, I'm preparing for it. And that takes time. I'm studying this particular organization. I'm studying the culture. I'm looking into history, trends, track records, et cetera. What is it going to take? Were they ever successful? If they were, what did that look like? How can I? It takes a lot of thought processes to me. And that's the time that I'm talking about, that I'm unhappy that he's taking away from the Ravens.
So once again, you think he's doing football 24/7? So no. I'm on a bye week. Which gives me extra time. But if I'm allotting a half hour a day to study these organizations that I'm interviewing with, where's the problem in that? Because I'm not doing football 24/7. That's my whole point. I'm not doing this 24/7. If I'm not preparing for this interview, I'm sitting back binging Netflix. What's the difference? It's not football. And I agree. Your attention is slightly diverted. But once again, I would hope and think that he is professional enough to separate the two.
Hopefully.
What's up, Kimberly?
Hi, Kimberly.
Appreciate you dropping by. Did you have an announcement to make?
I did. Join us the next time Hendo does a live stream. Make sure you come back. Turn on your post notifications. We have a very, very important announcement to make. So just make sure you come back.
We what?
Yeah.
We have an important announcement to make?
Yeah, we do.
What announcement is that?
We'll make it in the next stream.
It's not about April the 6th?
Oh, we can talk about that too. Since you talked about it, let's hear it. What's happening on April the 6th?
April the 6th, we are doing a stadium tour of M&T Bank Stadium. Myself and the LBHT crew, we, along with our patrons and the patrons of Sifted Tally, if you are in the area at that time, let us know, because we're doing a free stadium tour for patrons only. Afterwards, we're going to hang out, probably get some lunch, walk around, hang around downtown for a bit, possibly. Maybe go out to Howard County. It's kind of a miniature meet and greet, but it's a way that we can go look at the stadium, maybe meet some players and just kind of get the community together. So if you want to be a part of that and you are a patron, you have to let us know, because the seating is actually limited. And if you're not a patron, all you have to do is look in the comment section and go to patreon.com/ROUG. And just for $5 a month, you can become a patron. You get to enter the fantasy football leagues. Brodney just won the Dynasty League. I once again won the Pick'ems League, so I got to order my second ring. You get to join our Discord and hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. We are on there 24/7. Like, there's always someone in the Discord to hang out with and talk to. We're building a great community. Also, you may be able to be like this person over here and be on an actual live stream with myself. It just depends. So just check it out. Also, if you like, there are free trials. You can actually go over it and do the, I think it's a week free trial, and just see if you like. And if you don't, you move on. But we are building something over here, and this is just a way for us to give back to the people that come in and support us week in and week out. So
you'll have a good time. So make sure you subscribe and make sure you sign up for the Patreon. And if you're here and you're rocking with us on this Monday morning, hit the like button. If you're new, welcome. We're happy you're with us. Subscribe. And don't forget to make sure that your post notifications are turned on so that you don't ever miss any fire content that is released in this channel.
Yes, because apparently we have some special news on this next stream. Yeah. And what is the day, Monday?
Today, yes.
We don't have a Ravens roundtable tonight. Dare I say, I stream tonight.
Ooh, that sounds lovely. A night stream as well, since there's no round table, and introduce the great news.
Nah, we not doing that.
Okay, well, we'll see you when we see you then, and make sure you're plugged in.
Is that Jay wants to know, are you launching your own clothing line?
Jay, you have to tune in. I cannot release the information just yet. You just have to make sure you stay tuned. Stay tuned, Davon.
So you say let's stream tonight. Are you going to be a part of the stream, Davon? Are you going to be there?
I'd love to share a screen with you, Davon. So if you can make it tonight, let us know.
Listen, Danny, I'm not that popular. Like, I don't get the views that everybody else gets. You know, I don't get the 100 plus people in my streams, and I'm cool with it. Like, I'm the mid-level employee.
But you know what? We need those mid-level employees. We need.
That's right.
We need them. No matter. I don't care if you are starting out and you have one subscriber. You are needed. I don't care if you have.
I'm good in my space.
That's right.
I'm good in my lane.
Did you see Davon? He said, "Let's do it."
What he said, listen, people say, "Let's do it," and then when the time comes, like you say, "Hey, let's stream at 10:45," and people say, "Let's do it," and then they don't show up till 11 o'clock. I mean, yeah. people don't stick to their words. So
you're right.
You say, "Let's do it." You know, maybe we can get a miniature round table going with some new participants.
Yeah, or you know, just some family members here from the group get together tonight and talk Ravens and talk surprises and all kinds of good stuff.
Okay. We'll see, Davon. It depends on how work goes. Actually, I gotta get ready to get up off here and go to work. It depends on how work goes. We'll see. All right. Any parting words for the people? Still 33 people in here. Appreciate you all for hanging out with us for this last 50 minutes on this Monday morning, this pop-up stream. Appreciate you guys. There's times where I think that I may do more AM streams. Like, I was thinking possibly, don't hold me to it. I'm not saying this for certain, but it was a thought that I was going to do like a Monday through Friday show at like 8, 9 p.m. every day. But now it's the off season, so it's not a lot to talk about. So that's not going to happen.
Oh, to the contrary. No. This is the off season. It's a lot to talk about. We have a lot that we need to discuss in this off season, don't you think?
Not 5 days a week.
Maybe not 5 days a week, but certainly one or two.
That's what Sundays are for.
Sunday morning?
No. Sundays. Oh, speaking of.
Morning. You were saying you were thinking about doing a morning stream, and then you said 5 days a week, and I said, no, not 5 days a week, but one or two days a week, you could do a morning stream.
Speaking of the Sunday show, we are moving time. We're moving the time. I do believe it will be 7 p.m. instead of 8. I wanted to do 6, maybe 6:30. That way we can get people in and out. Because it is the night before you go back to work. So, 7 o'clock. We're moving to 7 p.m. Sunday evenings. We're going to do the show.
Great. That sounds good.
Okay, Kimberly. Appreciate you. Montgomery, Alabama. Okay. Nice. No more Nick Saban. Sorry. All right.
If you're in Montgomery, I don't know if you live there, but... wonderful sights to see, wonderful tourist spots, of course, as you know, if you're there now. I had an opportunity to visit Montgomery and tour all of the wonderful sights a couple of years back. So very, very enlightening if you're into Black history.
Mm-hmm. All right, any parting words for the people, Yolanda?
Thank you all so much for coming out, spending a part of your morning with us. We appreciate it. Make sure you take care of yourselves. Stay safe. Do something special for yourselves. Treat yourselves this week. Do something fun. Buy yourself a cupcake. Whatever it is that you feel like you want to do. I told my brother that this morning. I was like, buy yourself a cupcake. Do something special. Do something out of the ordinary. Just treat yourself because life is short. So make sure you take time for yourselves. We give so much to others and we do so much for everyone else that sometimes we fail to stop and do something wonderful, special for ourselves. So you're worth it. But thank you again for hanging out with us. We hope to see you in the next stream, whenever that will be. And, go Ravens.
Go Ravens. And yes, listen, I had for my birthday, I got a vegan chocolate chip cookie, a vegan oatmeal cream pie, and I do have a birthday cake that has vegan donuts on it. So yeah, I might have to go hit that up right now before I hit up work.
Yeah,
but appreciate you all. Like she said, thank you for stopping by. Make sure on your way out to hit that like button. And if you are new here, hit that subscribe button, because every subscriber and viewer counts. It helps push this channel on the YouTube algorithm. And who doesn't want to grow? Who doesn't like popularity? I know I do. But make sure you check out some football, even though the Ravens aren't playing tonight.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Joey. Appreciate you, bro. I had something special for you. Make sure you watch some football outside of the Ravens. Make sure you check out, see what other teams are doing, see how the organizations run. And I think that's why myself, Jose Brodney, Coach Chris, OTL Mike, we have differing opinions than most people that you see on YouTube, is because we watch other organizations and see how they're run. And see that, hey, everything ain't sunshine and roses over here. And some things could be better. Some things are great. Some things are amazing. But sometimes some things can be better. And I've likened this to my children. I love my children dearly. And if my child brought in an A, I would be happy. But I know that if my child brought in a B, I would be extremely happy. But I know that my child can bring in an A. If they didn't have the capacity to do it, it's one thing. But I know that my children can bring in A's. I'm happy with your B, but I know that you can do better. It's not to say that I'm trashing you or I'm disappointed in you. It's just that I know you have more in you. And I think that's the same thing with this Ravens organization. It's not that we think that, oh, nothing's ever good enough for us and it's just clouds and darkness. It's just the fact that we know this team can be so much better. So much better. If you look at the things that they've done this offseason to get the Ravens to where they are now, this is something they should have did 3 years ago. And I think that's all that we're saying. They should have given Lamar weapons years ago. And we would be, imagine how much further along we would be if we had these weapons, if we had that offensive coordinator, and this wasn't Lamar's first year in the system, and you had OBJ and another name. We would be unstoppable. But you live and you learn. Hopefully this is the start of a run, because this iteration of the Baltimore Ravens, this is it. After this offseason, we might not have our defensive coordinator. We might not have Patrick Queen. We might not have Mad. We're not going to have Geno Stone. We're not going to have J.K. Dobbins. Kevin Zeitler might be gone. Gus Edwards might be gone. Like, this iteration of the Ravens is going to be so, so different. So we have to take full advantage of this. And for once in my bones, I feel we got the Super Bowl.
We got it, family. So let's enjoy the moment, live in the moment. We'll all celebrate together on the other side.
Indeed. And of course, as always, I'm going to leave y'all with this.